As I wish I would have known those days. I didn't grow up in that. We're going to be talking about the character of God. I titled this "All Scripture is God Breathed," and the reason I do that is if we go to all the world and we're sharing Christ or something. I mean, God has given us, what is salvation for? What does it actually mean to be saved? It means that I've been given a new birth. I've been given a new character. I have been transformed in the renewing of my mind. It means my emotions have changed. It means my language has changed. The words that I used to use and the words I use today are completely different, I promise. The words I used when I was in the United States Marine Corps are not the words I used to you. And you can be very thankful. Okay? I mean, something takes place. And so I look and I says, do you think God, when he gives a new nature, he rebirths you. This is not behavior modification. And many of us are still thinking behavior modification. If I only did. You know, I got too much anxiety. I got too much something else. I got too much irritability. I'm always complaining. Said that all scripture is God-breathed, all of it is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God is righteous. He tells us there is none righteous on the earth, yet when he redeems us, when he rebirths us, he immediately declares we are righteous, now and forever. In other words, I'm just like him in my nature. I've got a new nature to grow in. Would it be possible then that God tells me, uses words like, Gus, let, or Gus, have, that I couldn't let or have? If he says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, why would he tell me that if I can't have the attitude of Christ? That doesn't make any sense. Why would he say, let the peace of Christ dwell within you when I don't have any possibility to let the peace of Christ dwell within me? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. So when you begin to look at life, and I think of all the wonderful differences in our personalities and the way we look and our ages and backgrounds, everything, all of us are needed for people to experience the magnificence of life that is eternal. Then, when you talk to them of Christ, it makes sense. But it doesn't make sense about Jesus Christ if my character is exactly like it always was. I'm all wound up. I'm still feeling like I'm some kind of a dirt bag. If I could only do this. No, wait a minute. God says, no, I've completely redeemed you. I mean, there's a new change. So I'm gonna read something to you, and it's out of Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read, actually, I was going to do 9 through 15, but then I did this morning, so I'm going to do 9 through 18. And I just want you to listen to the wonderful words here. This is about character. This is to men and women who have absolutely received the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ. If you've received it, He's letting you and I know this is our character. This is something that we are. Not something that we are to do. This is something that we are. And once you know it's who you are, it's a whole lot easier to do. Otherwise, you get fatigued trying to do. And then, of course, you will fail in your doing. So then you're back to your dirtbag situation and condemnation. And that never works very well. So let's look at this. He says, love must be sincere. That's good. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And then cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. You want some devotion? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here, what does that mean? Honor one another above yourself. It's really hard to have an argument with your wife when you're honoring her. It's hard for her to have an argument with you when she's honoring you. Wouldn't it be much nicer if you were in an argument and say, thank you for the honor, as we're calling each other dirtbags? No. Listen to the beauty of this. This is the magnificence of a new nature. And many of us are suffering because we were unwilling, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Well, what? Let your love be sincere. Go down through this thing. Never be lacking in zeal. In other words, you should have some zippity-doo-dah to you. Amen? I mean, who wants to talk to somebody who's melancholy? Good grief. That's just about as boring. You're yawning. Would you please get your conversation over with so I can go do something else? Keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful. That's one of the great things. Be joyful in hope. Here's another one. Patient in affliction. Well, we're going to have affliction. We'll be patient in it, but be joyful at the same time while you're patient. Faithful in your prayer. Never stop praying. Share with God's people who are in need and always practice hospitality. Here we go. What? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless. Why would God tell me to bless if I can't? Why would he tell me to do such a thing? I have a choice every day of my life. I have been called to absolute freedom. Galatians 1, you've been called to freedom, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity to indulge your sinful nature. And how many of us are indulging our sinful nature? Love Jesus, but I hate you. We see it all the time. I'm watching people divorce each other. I'm watching people can't forgive one another. I don't have that ability. Yes, you do. If you're in Christ, you have it. Why, good grief, if God can forgive someone like you, every one of us in this room ought to go to hell in a handbasket. We have no right to go to see the Lord. We have nothing to say. Every one of us has received the grace of God. There wasn't one of us born in righteousness. We all have open graves, our throats like an open graves of on our lips. We practice deceit, and the poison of vipers is on our lips. Why? Because our Father's name is Lucifer, and that's who gave us this wonderful gift of lying, which has broken our relationships everywhere. And so we have to, if I cannot be rebirthed, if there is no such thing as a salvation that literally remakes me, gives me a new nature, then there is no hope. And it's one of the reasons my father and my mother came to Christ. I look back at these things, and now my aunt, they just watched me for years. Good grief, the Gus that was born on the planet and the one living today doesn't seem like the same human being. And I said, praise God for that. Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony. There's that beautiful word again. Shelley taught it to me. It's, oh, man, I just love this thing. Harmony with one another. Find a way to fan each other's flame. That's what it means. Sometimes somebody's having a bad day. We're all allowed to have a bad day. When we get it, someone has a bad day, we'll get in harmony with them. Fan their flame. Hey, you know, remind them of the magnificence. Or maybe you just sit there and listen to them. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That's that Garth Brooks. He sings that song, in Low Places. He hangs with people in low places. One of my favorite songs. I just love that thing. I should have had that played today, you know. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not repay how many? Anyone. Somebody treats you with great evil, and I've had it happen. I went out and blessed them immediately. Why? Because the Lord said, bless them. They tried to do me great harm, and they did me great harm. My wife was there. She was present. She saw it all. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go bless them. I'm going to go bless these opportunities. That's what I called them. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So, that's a lot of scripture. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to take verse 9. Because I was going to give you all the whole one, but I knew I couldn't do it because when I hit verse 9, that's all I could do. And verse 9 is real simple. Love must be sincere. What in the world does that mean? Love must be sincere. First off, what is it? We know that God is love. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He came into a world of absolute enemies where no one was righteous, no, not one. No one wanted him. They didn't care for him. He can, even on the cross, you want to know what love looked like. He's on the cross. He doesn't curse them at all. He doesn't do them harm at all. In fact, he does just the opposite. What does he do? He prays for those that hate him. He says this, Father, please don't hold this sin against them. They don't know what they're doing. He's not angry with them. Who's on the cross? Who's cursing at him? They are. Who put him there? They did. What does it mean to love? It's the magnificent freedom of total forgiveness all the time because that's what we are. It's a beautiful. This love is characterized. It's the character of those who have come to Christ. You know, I was going through 2 Peter this morning. I mean, doing 2 Peter also, but 2 Corinthians. And when I was looking at that, and it's one of my favorite times. It says, examine yourself to whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Don't examine the person next to you. Examine yourself. Do you not realize that Christ is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? Did you know there was a test so that you could know if you're in Christ? You know, on the day that we were finally, when the day is over, when everything is finally done, when Christ comes, when it's all done and all of mankind stands before the Lord, he says, not a few, but many will say to me, and they will declare all the work they did for him. They will declare all of the hours and all of the things they did, and he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who continued in your sin. You continued. You would not repent. You would not receive my gift. You would not enter into my joy. You wouldn't enter into my kingdom. You wouldn't enter into my righteousness. My righteousness has no condemnation to it. That's why I came. I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to seek and to save that which was lost. You would not. So test yourself. And then Paul says this, and I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. The beauty, that's what this is about. So when you begin to look at it, the love of its character, the man or woman who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed. Not a little dabble, do you? I mean, we got the whole thing. We got all the Holy Spirit. I mean, every bit. Anointed me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And as I grow in him, he can express more and more. You know, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and you go to the wonder of that, it's only of value when you're giving it away. It makes no sense to say, yeah, I've got it all. You know, and yet someone irritates you. I don't have any patience. Someone is nasty to you. I'm not gentle. I'm not going to be gentle. I'm going to get in your face, you idiot. You know, I look at, well, like I told you, what was it, last week, wasn't I telling you about the opportunity my wife and I had in the car when she's reaching for a steering wheel and all that kind of stuff? It was a poor attitude on her part. And then my response was extremely poor. Extremely poor. And that's the transformation of the renewing of mind. When the Lord says, we didn't talk very good to Karen a minute ago, did we? No, I don't think we did. I wanted to say you, but I couldn't do that. So I said, no, we didn't. And all of a sudden, what do I find myself? I'm being rebuked by the love of God because there's no condemnation in it. That's what righteousness is. You can't get men iron sharpening iron if you have condemnation. What you feel is criticized. What you feel is ridiculed. That's a sinful nature. But if God didn't lie, and if I have been rebirthed, and if I have been transformed, and if there is a kingdom of God which I seek, which is righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, then I receive it. And he who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God. This is why the world needs, and what is happening in our world. Watch our news. Don't you just ache over the sadness of the people's hearts? So you look at it. This love is to characterize us because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because God is love and his love dwells within us, the character of a man or a woman should reveal the character of God. That's the beauty. We're here. We want you. You know, you need to be in bad times. You need to have some really sorry times come upon you. Wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer? Father, please bless everybody today with many difficult days. You wouldn't receive that well, would you? But in the difficult days, you understand who you are. In the difficult moments when things aren't what they respond to be, you experience the magnificence of Christ himself. And then in that difficult place, you find yourself completely unaware, blessing those who made it difficult. See, that's what it is. All Scripture is God-breathed. Love must be without pretense. It has to be. It must be sincere. Sincere means it's what I am. I'm not trying something. It's just what I am. Repentance is good because there's no condemnation in it, so I'm not even ashamed. It is not that love is to be frank and to tell the truth no matter how unpalatable. Now, when I was a young man, I was really good at telling the truth when I came to Christ. I wasn't really good at grace. That's why God probably had to tell me, oh, look at you, she's shaking her head again. That's my wife. There you, honey, you got to stop that. You know what I'm saying? People are watching you here. Okay? Now, I mean, I could tell the truth, and I told it in the most graceful way I knew at the moment. But most people considered it harsh. And so I said, I am not harsh. I am not harsh at all. If you want harsh, I know how to do harsh, but I am not harsh. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I am like Gentle Ben. Do you get it? And one of my staff says, yes, you are, but Gentle Ben was a grizzly bear, and nobody likes grizzly bears. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Okay, I started learning. I had to grow. I had to find out, love, teach me this, Father, teach me. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I don't want to tell people about the magnificent nature of a new nature of God, and yet all of a sudden I'm all wound up. I tell the truth, but I tell the truth in such a way that the people feel ridiculed, as they should, because I said it that way, or they're feeling hurt. I'm absolutely damaging their emotions. I'm really hurting them when I'm telling them a truth. No, you know, I think of that hypocrite. You know, Judas Iscariot. Remember when Mary did that perfume, and he was all upset, and he says, "Why wasn't the money given to the poor? You know, it's worth a year's wages." And he didn't say this. It sounded like all this religious junk. I said, man, Father, that is not where I want to be. I don't ever want to be. The love, whether it is the object of God or our fellow believers or our family or our neighbors or our enemies, it must be sincere. It must be genuine because God is love. In fact, I was sitting there, I think, I know what it is. Why I was in Peter. Okay, I remember why I was in Peter. Listen to this. 2 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply. Now, why would God say that to me if I don't have any possibility of loving you deeply? And why? What does it say? He says, I'm going to give you the definition of when I say love each other deeply, what it means. Here's the definition. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love each other deeply. What do you mean? Cover each other's sin. Love one another. Quit divorcing each other. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough now and lived long enough. I have seen good godly churches split in the name of whatever. They just people, good friends, walk away from each other. Everybody loves Jesus, but they hate each other. And I'm thinking, what kind of a deal is this? Love must be sincere. Love one another deeply. What do you mean? Love covers a multitude of sin. You get into Romans 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the entire law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Why should I? Because love does no harm to its neighbor. So love must be sincere. All Scripture is inspired by the Almighty. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What's the new creation? That woman has learned how to forgive in a blink. They don't hold anything. Their irritations seem to be washing away. They all of a sudden realize they're irritated. Oh, let this wash. Father, did you notice I got irritated again? I did, didn't I, Lord? So I'm handing that off again. Did you notice I got a little bit ticked out there? Did you notice I found those swear words all by myself? Did you ever know it? And all of a sudden I washed them away. Love's got to be sincere. If it isn't, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Why in the world would someone want to come to a Jesus of a person who is ridiculing, filled with anxiety and stress, all wound up tighter than a rubber band? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And if God didn't hype and jive, I've been given a brand new nature. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been rebirthed by the Holy Spirit. I am being transformed in the renewing of my mind and my emotions. I am learning the magnificence of presenting myself before God. I'm in a sinful body, and I get to master it. I'm the master over my own sin. How cool is that? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I know victory unto victory by the magnificence of the change that Christ has put into me. So, Donald Barnhouse, William Newell said, the world is full of effusive expressions of affection, and so we fear our many professing Christians. And I like this. He goes, without real love in their heart, he goes, talking cream and living skim milk. I love it. That quote's from D.L. Moody. Wouldn't you have loved to heard him? Man, I bet you that guy, he just nailed it. Donald Barnhouse, someone has said, there are times when definition is destruction. Whoever questioned the beauty of a sunset, we look at it. I mean, you just look at it and you're in awe. But who can define it? The astronomer can give us the mathematics of it. And I doubt that there are mathematics in the sunset. But there is no glory in those mathematics. Beauty defined is beauty destroyed. And so here, God simply states that love is to take off its disguise and walk with heart bared open for the world to see. It is a hard thing to do in our sinful nature, for our nature, our sinful nature, always protects itself and says it's about me. It's always about me. Only when we recognize that the love of Christ will cast us out all fear from being hurt can love as he wants us to be to love. Wow. So then I called about this need of choice, and that's hate what is evil. And we should hate what is evil. It's not hate people. Don't hate people. Hate the evil. Look what it's done to our families. Look what evil's done. Some of you, like me, we've had kids get on drugs. Wondering how in the world that ever happened. That's not the family we were raised in. Where'd that come from? How did that even happen at all? We watch the destruction of churches. You watch our news, our anchors today, and the filth coming out of their mouth. And all you can do is, oh, Father, that is no freedom there. Would you bless them with your presence? Would you overwhelm them? Would you overwhelm them with goodness? Oh, Father, this place is falling. If you don't renew us, if you don't save this nation, if you don't rebirth us again, we're in for a real big downslide. We're already on the downslide. We're already failing. And they keep yelling at each other. No, Father, we're going to hate what is evil. It's possible, you know, but we don't hate the unsaved man. You know, Psalm 97:10 says, hate evil, you who love the Lord. Hate the evil, but not the man or the woman. Hatred is a Christian virtue. Most of us don't want to say that. It is. Hating the evil. God hates evil. He came here to destroy it. Absolutely destroy sin. He came here to break the back of Lucifer and what he had done with the creation. He came here to take the sovereign of death and snap it. Where's your victory now over my sons and daughters? Where's your victory now? Where's your sting now? I gave them victory over you. When they take their last breath, you will experience their victory over you. The magnificence of Christ himself. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to break the sin of adultery. He came to break the back of this porno. He came to break the back of having mouths that were always speaking deceit, talking stink about one another. He came to remove the condemnation that sin gives. It tempts, it tempts, it tempts. You go into the temptation, and the moment you do, it condemns you. That's what it does. There's never any satisfaction. He hates it, absolutely. Psalms 36, 1 through 4, transgression speaks to the ungodly in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or even hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed, he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course of life and does not reject what is wrong. But to the one who knows the Lord, Psalm 101, 1 through 3, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When do you come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. I will set before my no vile thing. You know what happened to me last night? We're going to bed last night, and what happens? My phone does that beepy thing where it's like somebody texting me. Karen says, somebody text you. You know, it's a little after 10 o'clock. And then who texts me after 10 o'clock? You know, I mean, they must be dying or something, because I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm hitting the rack, all right? So I don't have my glasses on. I can't read diddly squat, so I hand her the phone. What is it? You know what it was? Some porn place sent a text onto my phone. Some lowlife and porn place, which I've never joined in my life, some porn did. And I said, what? She said, it's a porn thing. I said, well, just delete that lowlifer. Why? Don't let any vile thing come before your eyes. It's the time we live in. Somewhere, we've got to think, Father, I don't know who, if it's a machine, I don't know if it's a man, I don't know if it's a woman, sending this crud out here. But you overwhelm them with yourself. This has got to come to a stop. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. I'm not going to participate in this stuff. Hate and cling express the highest degree of hatred on the one hand and the most persistent devotion on the other. I believe it has been said that no virtue is safe in our life which is not passionate. And I'm telling you, I'm a passionate man. I'm passionate for my Savior. I'm passionate for the Word. I'm passionate in the virtue of loving my wife as Christ loved the church. I'm passionate in loving you. I can't wait to get here. The Band of Brothers is one of the highest things I ever do on the planet. They kept me alive most of the time. How many times I go to those Band of Brothers and I walk in there thinking, Father, I don't even know what to say today. I am so clueless. And all of a sudden he opens my mouth and I'm standing there going, Father, as I'm speaking, I'm going, Father, this is like way too cool. I don't think I ever had that thought before. And then these guys look at me and then they're changed in a blink of an eye. I said, this is the clinging. This is the cling to what is good. It literally means to glue yourself. Glue yourself. Set your mind on things above. Glue your mind into that thing. Whatever is good and lovely and praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on these opportunities. Get involved in the magnificence of the new nature. Celebrate who you are. You're allowed to do this. You're allowed to celebrate the new nature. You're allowed to celebrate and praise God for giving you a new nature. You're allowed to praise God at every moment of every day, all the time. I sit there, and no matter where we go, no matter what my wife and I do, it seems like the schedules just get busier and busy because all of a sudden everybody wants to talk to you. Well, can you come here? Can you come there? And I'm thinking, oh, Father, I love talking to people. As most of you know, I talk a lot. And I love talking. I do. Because I love talking about the grace of God. I want you to know today, no matter what condition your bodies are in, and some of you have some real opportunities, let's be honest, the tent in which you're dwelling in is giving you a real opportunity. Okay? I want you to know, in the midst of that tent, being in an opportunity, you are a magnificent man or woman of God. The tent and the bad condition of your tent that you live in is not the description of who you are. Some of you seem to be in ruts, emotional ruts, and anxiety and irritations and anger come quickly to you. Over the journey of life, you have, on your own accord, you just dug a nice, big, huge trench in your emotions, in the way you think. And that trench, you carved it like an old plow horse pulling you along, and you just kept digging and digging. And so irritation comes easy to you. Anger comes easy. Stress comes easy. Anxiety comes easy. Well, how many I let you know that the grace of God can fill the trench in immediately. I want you to know it can fill in immediately. If you'll just believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Well, it can also fill in a trench. If it can move a mountain, it can fill in the trench. And here's what he says. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your heart. It's just we're unwilling. So we go through frustrations and frustrations. I deal with people all the time. I have friends that have been going to therapists and counselors for like 10 years. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. When God always says, look, I already paid for this for you. I already did it for you. Believe me. Would you just believe me? Live by a faith that says, I am a new man. I am a new woman. Whoever you are, you know, whatever gender you find yourself in. I think there's only two, by the way. Okay. Don't you love the new heads out anymore? That means bathroom. You walk up and it says, all gender. Does that mean dogs? Everybody come in here? I mean, what are you? All gender. Used to say male and female. We're just so messed up today. Okay. Listen to good music. Total commitment. Leaves neither time or inclination to court evil. When you're in the place of praise, what do? You're fanning the flame of people around you. You're completely unaware in one sense because it's become you. You wake up. Before you get out of bed, you begin to praise God. You give thanks. when this anxious comes on you, or like for me it was irritations and anger that I had dug in that trench, I would start to feel it instantly. I would be so thrilled that I would be awakened to I was about to do it. It was so thrilling. You know, I was just about to do it again. Yo, Lord, thank you. Handing it off to you again. Man, that is way cool. I'm not going to do it. No, man, what was thrilling is I was aware. So cling to these things. Adhere to the Word of God. When he says, have this attitude in yourself, which is in Christ Jesus, well, then have the attitude. He doesn't tell you to have the attitude and that say you can't. Learn to clean up your mouth. And it doesn't mean just foul swear words. It's your tones and your vocabulary by which you talk to one another. Try to figure out how to say something kind. Why? Because you can. Because you're a man or woman of God. Quit thinking of yourself as some dirtbag. Therefore, there is now no condemnation of those in Christ. How many more times does God have to say it? Oh, you know what? I just thought of something else. I just got to tell you what God thinks of you. I have to tell you because we're not getting it. Sometimes I feel like, Father, the reason I move so many times is I think people get too used to me and they can't hear me anymore. Okay, so, and I've been here as of September 10 years. That is the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my whole life. I mean, it's like, Father, thank you. but I think in 10 years, good grief, Gus. Listen to this. Here, this is you. Okay, this is the love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Listen to this. This is what God says. The Holy Spirit goes like this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing. What do you mean? I don't have to be hateful anymore. I don't have to have the anxiety. I don't have to go look at a porno anymore. I don't have to go do any of that stuff anymore. All of a sudden, I have been made a new man. He's blessed in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Man, look at all praise to God because I'm united with Christ. I'm united with Christ. Are you united with Christ? Amen? You have to know it. I am united with Christ. Yola boli, is that too cool? If I'm united with Christ, I can never be ununited. That is who I am. So get used to it. Get used to the praise of that. All praise. I'm united with Christ. Now watch this. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't get any better than to be able to say, guess what? I am without fault in the eyes of Almighty God. Therefore, I am without fault. I live in a tent that is sinful, that has every fault, but I get the control of it. So I can take this. It even gets better. Watch this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. He has decided in advance to do what? That means, because why? Who's your natural dad? He's nasty. He's nasty. You were born with his nature. That's why it says, poison of vipers on our lips. He's a viper. If the dude opens his mouth, he's speaking his natural language is a lie. And every kid's born with the same thing. So we've been adopted. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to Christ. Bringing us through Christ to himself. Now watch this. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Are you not pumped? Are you just not pumped? How do you sit in your chairs? Listen to this. God says, you give him great pleasure. You, of all people, Bill, you and me, amen. You know, you look at this. We give God great pleasure. He wanted this. It's time to say, love must be sincere. Hate What is evil? Don't hate people. Hate the evil in your own nature. Any time that you start to get nasty with your mouth or anything, just be awakened. You don't have any condemnation. You're united with Christ Jesus. You are now in the sight of God, blameless now and forever. So get into your repentant mode, which is nothing more than presenting your body as a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Is that not too cool? Amen. Well, let's stand up and let's sing a song, okay, to the Almighty.